It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
It would be a Wolves fan, eh?
On goes Paul. People might yet win it here for Wolves. Blast in the shot. What a goal!
Hello and welcome to today's episode of Wolves Fancast. Back once again, everyone. It's Richard Hobbs here, and joining me on this snowy, cold Sunday evening, I've got Josh and Tom. Boys, how are we doing this evening?
All good, all good. Buy yesterday's result.
Yeah, I was going to say buy it. What? Hang on, Josh, you've got to be pretty happy. You got your first Fancast spotted, I believe, this weekend.
What can I say? It's just
big in the game.
Bit strange, wasn't it? You know, I never expected that, but I guess this is what it feels like. I'll be hiring a PA very soon. All the inquiries will be directed to them for the foreseeable.
I was actually quite happy
with the result, to be fair. Yes, they said to me, mate, before the game, I'll lose by a goal, I'll take that.
<Not control. laughs> Exactly. I think that's all you can sort of usually hope for against the likes of against the likes of Arsenal and some of the other big guys, is, you know, just give them a game or keep it within an arm's length. So I think I'd seen a lot of people like, you know, 2-0, I'd be happy with that.
This is going to be a paddling.
When we were 2-0 down within about, it wasn't fun how quickly we conceded those two goals. But let's get right into it, boys, because, I mean, we did the Fulham show, Tom, and we knew there were going to be changes. Just because of suspensions and things like that. But I guess it was probably the team we expected overall with Doyle Traore coming in.
Yeah, I mean, I remember saying after the Fulham game, saying that, you know, we're going to be expecting a lot of changes in the midfield and it'll be a pretty different game with, you know, with them two players out with Lamina and Gomez. And it's a lot of pressure on Doyle and Traore. But, I mean, for me, I thought Doyle was brilliant on Saturday. I thought there was a lot of times in the midfield where he had about two or three players around him and he was still able to distribute the ball. So I thought he was probably one of the top players for me, as well as Cunha from yesterday's game.
Yeah, and I guess, Josh, Dawson coming back in is probably the other most notable
star. Yeah, of course.
It was a shame on Bueno.
It was expected. Like, Dawson's always going to come back in. See, I think, like, Breno, he had a decent game Monday night, but Dawson's always coming in. There's no doubt there. Just look at that bench, though, Doyle, and you're looking like there are three subs there that are under 21, so realistically they're not going to come on. You've got two strikers, a winger, full back, centre half, and a goalkeeper. Just look at the depth there. There is nothing. Is there? Okay, and now we've got, like, Gomez, Lamina out. You got through suspension. Neto's out injured. But you just look at that. It's just depressing. Look at that.
It is.
Look at the quality of that bench. It's like, where is the game winner there? He's like Kalajdzic, and you know, didn't have a great appearance, did he, yesterday? So, but it's just depressing to look at that Premier League team. But it just kind of runs on what O'Neill said when he kind of first come in. We're £80 million short in players. In depth, I think he's totally spot on. And that's games like yesterday. Maybe you think you're going to get onto it, but you think, oh, maybe change the game. What can he do really from that bench?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess for one omission off who wasn't on the bench, who has been kind of regular on there, was Johnny, who for disciplinary reasons, as the Express and Star broke, was omitted from the squad. For a, I guess, quote-unquote training ground bust-up, which is, I was going to say, a bit out of character, but I think, didn't he have an issue with Lange and or Lopetegui as well.
He did. It was in that Johnny Phillips book.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not surprising.
Was it Lange? I'm pretty sure who we had the problem with.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. But I mean, as hard as it sounds, I can kind of understand why. I mean, I know as a professional, you know, you're under contract with the club, but you can kind of see why he's probably complained. I mean, obviously, we don't know to the extent of what's happened on the training ground, but if he has been in O'Neill's ear saying, like, you know, kind of get some minutes and he hasn't been getting them, I guess you could kind of see why, but I don't know. I think we'd need to see more into it to see as to why he was dropped. I mean, obviously, they say it's the training ground. You don't know if that was a scuffle or, like, there's not too much context in there. So it could have been a meeting with the manager or it could have been a scuffle on the training ground which caused him to get off. But it's a bit of a shame, really, because he's stayed professional, I'd say, from the stay that he's had with us.
Yeah. Club. I mean, that's always kind of been the perception, but I think part of me admired the fact that he stayed in the summer and he wanted to kind of see out his contract. And I get it, because there's a level of loyalty there. But, you know, he's effectively our fourth choice left wing back behind Aitnori, Bueno, Doherty, and you could argue even Semedo, even, maybe. And then it's him. And then on the other side, he's going to be third, you know, minimum third as well. The chances of him getting that call up is slim, but at the same time, it doesn't kind of help appease yourself if you kind of, if stuff is happening behind the scenes, it doesn't kind of paint you in the necessary greatest optic for a club who have stood by him. You know, let's be real. You know, he's had two massacring injuries. You know, both ACLs have gone. And, you know, the club gave him a new contract after the first one as a sign of loyalty. And, it's not going to make a big difference in the long run to his standing with Wolves fans, let's be honest. But it's a bit of a shame when you can't see it happening with a player who is kind of regarded as a solid pro.
Of course, it's always a shame, isn't it? But... And also a question like, where is he getting the idea from? If O'Neill's promised him minutes, that's different. But you can very comparable, maybe to a lesser extent, with Sarabia last week going on social media. And you can see he's justified in his actions for me. Whereas Johnny, mate, you're pretty gash now, ain't you? You ain't played well for ages.
Yeah.
So it's like, at what point do you look and go, and like, you know, what you said, commendable, maybe staying in the summer. But was it really, or was it, no one would really come in for him, so it's easy to have to go, I'm going to stay and fight for my place, and yeah. But did anyone really come in for you in the first place?
Yeah, there's a lot of narratives, isn't there? It depends on how you want to spin it. You say, like, I'm fighting for my place, am I, you know, no one coming in for me, am I picking up a chair? You know, all of these lovely kind of cliches, isn't it? To be fair with him, but I don't know, be interesting. So it might be one of those where he's on the bench against Burnley again. And you know he's done his match, so we'll see how it plays out. But I think, as you kind of alluded to, Josh, you know, there's only ever 11 happy players in a team. You know, the ones who are starting, and I said, exactly. if you're that low down,
he didn't deserve minutes. Like, what's he done? You know, when's he played well since, and what's he done to earn these minutes? Do you really want him starting ahead of Hugo Bueno, Aitnori, Doherty? I think I'd still rather have Doherty. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, where does he fit in? He just doesn't for me. And it's easy to go, yeah, oh, I'll stay and fight for a place. But was really wanted here? You wasn't. You was put on the transfer list. You surplus the requirements. And we'd probably only give you them Carabao Cup minutes because it's like, well, we ain't going to run Smedo into the ground then.
Yeah. Exactly. Let's get into the game, because as sort of mentioned, I think most people would have been okay in a way, or not too upset if we'd have lost yesterday, and even if we lost 2-0. I think to concede two goals from inside the opening 13 minutes wasn't exactly a great start. And I think let's talk Sacco's goal, because watching it live and then watching it back as well, I almost can't make up my mind in terms of, like, is it a case that Arsenal are really good, or we just really dropped off? Because, like, it's becoming really worrying for me how many goals we're conceding early on in games at the moment.
I mean, from the first goal, obviously, from the first view when it was live, I thought pretty bad defending, and I think I still agree with that now. I think when you look at it, when Dawson's come into him and he's 1-on-1 and tried to cancel him out, and don't get me wrong, Saka's probably had a bit of luck with it, dropping right in front of him. So he's got a bit of a tapping, really. But I feel like we could have cancelled it out, really. But there was at home, they were with confidence, they just won 6-0. So, you know, it's one of them, really. It could have been cancelled, but I think it was a bit of individual brilliance as well at the same time with the first goal.
It's that bounce, isn't it, every time against us.
Yeah.
I know, Phil, maybe I'm saying it as all time, but it's just always that bounce seems to go against us. And I think yesterday you could maybe lend the slow start to like four players coming in. You know, obviously Dawson, like, fair enough, he plays every game while suspension, so he's able to speed. But Brenell's got to come in, defend against one of the best wingers in the league. You're playing like a totally new midfield pairing against like over £100 million worth of qualities in one player, let alone having Odegaard and stuff playing off him as well. So it's a bit like, I guess it's going to take time, and Arsenal probably pinpointed that on that momentum wave and gone straight in for it and gone, right, kill these early. And that's what they've done, isn't they, I think?
Yeah, and it almost felt like parts of it they did really well. Like, you know, they doubled up on Saka. You know, they did like everything right. They kind of boxed him off, got him facing away from the pitch, and just suddenly like a really cute flick around the corner. You know, it goes to Jesus, who, you know, again, really nice bit of turn. But it was almost like they just struggled with, it was like they switched off for a second. I think like Tommy Doyle at one point in the first goal didn't quite keep track of Tomiyasu, who made a kind of a cut inside. It's just like that's all it takes for a top team. And it's like, I guess that's the difference of when we beat Man City a couple of weeks ago, we were on it and just we weren't giving up those little bits. And maybe it's the fact that Lamina and Gomez are that, I guess, that little bit more steely defensively, and particularly Lamina's a lot more experienced than Traore, Doyle and Gomez, to be honest, to making sure that we just have that block a bit better. And, you know, again, same with Dawson. Like, yeah, he didn't get the bounce, but he probably arguably could have done that. He'll be disappointed he couldn't have done more as well. And he can't go, well, it's lots of little things, but I don't think they happen against a really good, an average team. Like, you know,
I think, only ain't getting that bounce out of there and stuff like that. And them little things. Just frustrating, isn't it? Like, you know, you think, keep it quiet first 10, and then that kind of happens. But, you know, they've got some unbelievable players in that team. Like I say, when you're comparing Wolves playing with an £80 million deficit in players and Arsenal's like £400 million super team, I guess these things, you know, you're going to get that bounce sometimes, aren't you? And more than we're going to get it.
Yeah. And, you know, fortune favours brave a lot of times when it comes to things like that for me. And, like, if you're on the front foot in games, you'll get those chances, you'll get those bounces that go your way, because you keep doing it over and over again. And, you know, Arsenal started with that real aggression, which it almost reminded me of the season we got promoted under Nuno, in terms of just like that sheer relentlessness to start a football match. Was, you know, don't get me wrong, Arsenal's very much a title contender this season. Sort of, it feels like they're slightly more efficient than last season, even still. But to come out with blocks like that and just not give us a minute, and you're right, to then see us concede after a second one in 13 minutes, which again, it just felt similar to me in terms of like, it was great movement by Arsenal, great passing, one touch, third man runner, cut back to Odegaard. But again, like, it's just like little bits where I think Traore dropped off. Like, he had the runner, they played a 1-2 and he didn't keep track. And hell, if he did turn, and he might have caught up to him a bit, but it was done at such pace. I kind of sympathise with him a bit.
Yeah, I can understand that. It's just, it's hard. Again, that second goal, it's like electric football. I think it's one of them. If we score it, we're like, man, that's goal of the season. That is one touch football, like Gaz ball. What's going on here? You know, look at this. But then when we concede it, it's like you pick those little faults, don't you? And it's just, I think it's just like, it's the speed. And I think that's the difference going up the rep levels. Like, it's just the speed in which they can turn a situation like Zinchenko's out wide into its, and it's that ball into, you know, like we get that then. I know it probably takes three touches. The cutback's not on, and then it probably goes back where it come from, sort of thing. And whereas the goal with Arsenal, it's like bam, one touch, Zinchenko, bam, into Odegaard, shoot first time, that team. And it's them little things, isn't it? It's that speed at the higher levels and things like that. You know, they're a Champions League team, and they've been in the process for 4 or 5 years, as we like to list on Twitter all the time. So they should be scoring those excellent, well worked goals by now.
Yeah, I think with the second goal, I think it just shows the quality of what Arsenal are at the minute and the form that they're on, especially at home. I mean, at first, obviously, I thought, you know, that was really well worked. But then looking into it, I thought, could have Kilman got there? But then at the same time, we had so many players of our own in the box. They didn't have as many as us, but because the ball moved faster than our players, the ball's in the back of your net. And that's just how, you know, football works at these clubs, that, you know, they just know how to work it like that, in a sense. And like you say, Josh, if that was us, I agree. I feel like Aitnori probably would have took three touches and it would have gone back and sideways and then tried again. But I'd say we're in a process of, you know, I'm sure the Wolves, our players would look at that and think, you know, I'd love us to go and score a goal like that. So 100%. I think there's some things you can defend and some things you've just got to put your hands up and just say, you know, it's a brilliant, well-worked goal. And I think it would have been hard to stop it, really, from how fast the ball was moved.
Yeah, I've got a lot of sympathy with Wolves on that goal. I'm usually quite picky on it. I think the only player, and again, a lot of sympathy, was in the goal, was Jose Sarr picking up an injury and, like, you know, very clearly didn't get down anywhere near it. it's kind of broke after the game. He suffered from back spasms, of all things, and got subbed off, I think about 10 minutes after the goal in the 24th minute. Again, bit of a shame for Jose Sarr, because I think he's had his ups and downs this season. But he should hopefully be there, saying that he should be back for Tuesday's game, which feels a bit odd for me. If you suffered from like some like back spasms, you go, yeah, you'll be fine 3 days later. but I thought Bentley did well when he came in. I was good. The reason why I called him Bentley just rather than Dan Bentley is because in my head I was thinking of David Bentley. I was like, don't say David. But yeah, Dan Bentley. Managed to keep a clean sheet against, you know, in his hour plus of a game. And, you know, Arsenal didn't, to be honest, really give Wolves much of a chance in that first half. I think we only actually had really one shot target in the first half anyway. And that was Wang's kind of break from on goal anyway. So, it was a tough old half for Wolves. But I was going to say, that Bentley and Sarr. Yes, back to my point. How do you feel Benton did?
I thought he'd done pretty well, to be fair. I mean, coming into it, I guess he's always got to be ready as the number two to come into any game. But I think Sarr, to be fair to him, I thought he's still done well to make the save on the Trossard attempt, coming out of his goal, you know, with the back injury to still get allowed to save it. I thought he'd done pretty well on terms of that. With Bentley coming in, I mean, the way Arsenal started the game and with Bentley coming in as well, I thought the score would have been a lot higher, I'm not going to lie, with Bentley coming in as well. But he proved me wrong. I thought he'd done pretty well. I thought like his distribution was good. There was a couple of chances which Arsenal had since he come on. I thought he dealt with pretty well. So I think overall, from the minutes he had in the game, it was pretty good from him. I thought he put on a good performance for himself, yeah.
I've got to be honest, I haven't seen too much of the game. So it's just with when Bentley come on, I'm not his biggest fan. You know, I think a lot of people when he come in were expecting a bit like a Jason Steele type thing at Brighton, where he somehow transforms himself from like a League One quality keeper to good enough to play in the Premier League and be shot stopping with the best. But I'm not too sure, you know, if you had a good game or what, I'm going to take your word on it, Tommy's distribution. I think he has slightly better kicking than Saar. I just would worry that if he's the permanent, like if Saar was injured for a little bit, I'd be thinking, Jesus Christ, I'd rather have me in net because I just do not rate Bentley at all.
Yeah, I was going to say, he strikes me at the moment very much a backup goalkeeper.
Yeah. You don't trust him, do you, to come in? You wouldn't trust him to do a dependable job. That Ipswich game proved it for me. It's like, you know, you can kick the ball out as long and as far as you want. You need that distribution, fair enough. But I also want my keeper to make saves. And, I remember Ipswich was after the game. It was like all three you could have questioned, you could have saved them.
Yeah. And sort of like shaving sops is sort of, you know, your baseline minimum as a goalkeeper. So, you know, I think that, you know, he put in a solid display. And as well for YouTube comments, a big shout out to everyone who's watching online, of course. I didn't notice Bentley, so that's his best performance yet, which is a, you know, pretty solid way of putting it. And, yeah, it struck me as, I don't know, getting through to half time, I think at 2-0 helped Wolves kind of think.
The objective, yeah.
Yeah, I think it helped us just see that game through. And I think if we'd have conceded a third before half time, I think it might have gone into sort of party mode if we weren't careful. And it's really harsh on Jose Saar because I don't think he was at fault for either goal. And you're right, he came out really bravely against Trossard to keep the score down just before coming off. But I think Bentley coming on made everyone reset that a little bit and made sure we got through to the second half. And I don't know, we did spark into life a little bit for me. We did start to create a few more chances second half, which was positive. And it took us, right towards the end of the game, to kind of make a proper breakthrough in Matheus Cunha, who quietly is putting a bit of form together. You know, he obviously scored ahead against Fulham. He scored yesterday, which I'll talk about in a second. He got the assist for Sarabia against Spurs. I mean, he's the biggest criticism is of him is a lot of time he doesn't really contribute many goals, and his assist isn't necessarily that high, but he's quietly becoming a player who's producing a lot of output for Wolves.
Isn't it? It's a big difference. He's playing and he's putting output that you'd expect from a £50 million player.
Yeah.
Into it. The only issue I have got, he always seems to bloody score when we lose. Apart from Bournemouth, I think every game he scored for us, we lose. And I'm so fucking kiss of death. He scores, but we always lose. Like,
yeah.
No output, we win. Like, output, we lose.
It's like getting a consolation goal. Yeah. It's like, but it's effectively meaningless.
He's really stepping up in that net absence, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think with his recent performances, I remember saying on a podcast before on here, he can do everything but shoot. And I think a lot of fans would agree with that. He was doing everything. Like, his dribbling was good. His passing was good. But if it was him winning 1v1, you wouldn't back him, really. And I think, you know, just the last two games, just scoring that header, which, don't get me wrong, he should have scored. He was a free header, back post. You should be scoring that. But from his goal yesterday, to take it top corner, you know, it's going to do him a world of good. Scoring 2-2. Yes, the results haven't been the best. But, you know, it's a positive to take from the game. I mean, hopefully, you know, Tuesday night, if he gets a chance, if he's got a yard of space, I'm sure he's going to knock a shot off. Even if he just hits the target, it's these little things that are going to increase his confidence over time. And I mean, like I say, if he can continue what he's doing, I'm pretty sure he's still first in terms of dribbling in the league.
Yeah, I know he was. Must be higher.
Yeah, I'm sure he was first. I think it was a week ago. Or he was well up there anyway in terms of his dribbling. So if he can keep doing what he's doing and, you know, getting assists or getting goals for us, I mean, hopefully long may it continue and hopefully he can do it when we win.
It does make you excited to think, obviously, Ben Percy did that article a couple of months back about the idea that we want to sign a number nine and let Cooney kind of play a free role across the front line. It makes you a bit excited, doesn't it, really, to think the quality, like, sign a number nine, Hwang, Cunha, Neto. Like, it's such a fun idea. And you think, we're scoring goals now and we're a bit more, not defensive, but, you know, we got, like, three centre-halves on the pitch and we're playing, like, a hybrid 4-5 at the back. And, you know, he's, like, kind of up, yes, like, he's up top in a two, basically running around, like, that's all his job is into. He's just pressing, hoping for a scraps, and he scored off one of them scraps yesterday. And you're, like, it makes you excited to think, oh, if we do ever become this front-footed, possession-based style team that you kind of saw in the earlier weeks of O'Neill before he had to, like, rein it back in, maybe, you know, what, how good could he be for us? He could be that £50 million player that you're really excited to see.
I mean, he's already on 4 goals for a season in the league, and we're, you know, not even halfway through the year. So, theoretically, he's on to get, you know, 10 plus goals, which it sounds low. Say it out loud. But when you compare it to like last season, and he arguably where we didn't have goal scorers, and you know, it's a real shame we've been without Net over the last month or so now. But between those two, we could have had, and Hwang as well, like potentially 3 players who could have got into double figures. And that would have been such a big boost, having, you know, effectively 30 goals from your forward line would have been massive. And we probably won't get there now through form and fitness as much as anything else. But Tom, I think you're right in what you said, that he stepped up since Neto's been out. And okay, it's only been a couple of games with international breaks and stuff like that, but you know, he pulled it out of the bag against Spurs with the assist. And obviously, yeah, we've lost the last two. But he's getting on the score sheet and he's still doing those extra bits and pieces. And yeah, I don't think Hwang did particularly well yesterday. If I'm going to be honest, it wasn't his greatest show. But I don't think it was really a game suited for Hwang, to be honest. And with Bellegarde as well, with a bit more for dribbling. But I know it was weird for the second half for me, because I think Arsenal started to get that little bit more sloppy and Wolves were growing into it a lot more. But when we got the first goal, makes it sound like there's more than one. it felt like we had a point where he could have gone for broke, and he brought on Sasha with like 2 minutes to go, but he took off Tommy Doyle. And I get he wants to keep structure at the back and stuff like that, but why not just take off a centre-half, keep Tommy Doyle on? You know, a player who is renowned for his set-piece ability, for having a cool head in hot situations. And just he did it against Fulham as well, didn't he? I'm sure he didn't want to switch up the shape. And again, I'm not blaming Gary O'Neill for losing against by one goal to the top of the league. But it's just like little things like that, which is a bit of a question mark in terms of just go for it. Because, I don't know, I'd have been okay if we lost 3-1 if the last goal was in the 95th minute on the counter-attack, because we've gone, fuck it, let's see if we can get an equaliser here.
Yeah, I think it's one of them. I think it's down to his experience as well. As a manager, I think obviously with him, and not only just him, I think his coaching staff, they obviously must have seen something. As, I don't know, it could have been Dawson putting a long ball in onto Sasa or something. They might have thought he had a better chance of doing it than Tommy Doyle. But I agree with what you're saying. I think Tommy Doyle is one of these players who I'm a very, very big fan of. And I think this 4.3 million buyout clause we've got of him, I think, is an absolute steal. So, you know, I think it could be a bit harsh on Tommy Doyle, but I think there must be things in training that he's, you know, O'Neill's seeing to bring him off at that time, or, you know, or it could just be down to his experience as a manager. But, you know, he's gone for the risk. It hasn't really paid off in the result, but maybe that's something to look at.
I think it's hard to say, isn't it? Like, because you could easily argue, like, look at some of the games we've won this season. So we beat Bournemouth late on. That was keeping that sort of structure. We beat Spurs late on. Again, he didn't change. He didn't hook like centre halves off or nothing. So it's just hard to, you know, I think some managers, it feels a bit comparable. Like, I don't want to say like comparable to Nuno almost, where he would, there was one thing that was certain about that game, and it was we was going to end up without sending off with like three centrals on that pitch, wouldn't we? You know, we was always, the amount of times you could sit under Nuno, why not just take a central off? Some managers, I think, just like to have that shape and things like that. It's just the way it is, you know, and it'll work in our favour some games, it'll work against us in other games. I think that's just football. You know, I respect O'Neill for having to change it around in the first place and giving room for like five at the back. He could have easily tried to stick with principles, giving four at the back every, you know, like this playing three centrals, you know, like he could have easily kept his principles, played four, got paddled every game and sort of thing. And he's kind of changed principles as well. So I'm not too frustrated at that. I was just happy to lose by one and not get shafted by VAR. That was the big thing.
I was going to say, that was not. It's been so nice half an hour into a show for once, and I've not had to talk about like any level of officiating and go, yeah, but it wasn't actually clear and obvious and all of that fucking bollocks. It has been borderline refreshing, and, you know, definitely not slightly satisfying to see Fulham a bit upset by it today. Not
going to
lie.
Oh, again, another log. I'm fed up with these little tin pot teams just like giving it the big and on Twitter, because like Fulham fans, has this one like Pratt on there, he's like, oh, O'Neill's just Parker but dresses different, and I'm like, mate, you're right, little plebby. You're like, oh, it just does your head in. Just and like you got Bournemouth like chatting wass on there and stuff, and you're just like, man, you're a little tin pot team and stuff like that. So it's nice to see if like Fulham get a bit back, I'll be honest.
It's nice, isn't it? It's nice.
It's refreshing, definitely.
Apart from that radical ref nonce who's like giving it loud, saying that Gabriel Jesus one should have been a penalty. I think he's just like a wind-up merchant, but he's like proper getting on my nerves at the minute.
I was going to say, you've not got blocked by the ref support charity yet.
Dale Johnson, though, last week. I claimed Dale Johnson.
Just working your way through them. I love it. Something that I was pondering this morning, ungodly hour, if I'm going to be truthful with you boys, is what the narrative at the moment with Wolves is. Because we've had two defeats in a row, and okay, one's slightly controversial with some decisions didn't quite go our way. The other one, top of the league. But it kind of got me thinking in terms of how you kind of match it up at the moment. So, at the moment, over the past six games, we're 13th in the league form-wise. So, pretty much on par with where we are currently, which is good. But we've also, we've lost two in a row. We've only won one in five. But we've also only had three defeats in nine. So, I don't know. I just kind of want to kind of gauge where you guys are at with Wolves. Now we're in December, well into the season. And, you know, particularly at this point, I know we had a lot of fun and games about the gonometer a month or so ago. And I'm not saying we need to wheel that out or anything for a little while, thankfully. But it feels like the mood's quite positive at Molineux, is all I'm saying. And we're not looking at it through a glass half empty perspective of, only you know, one win in five. We're getting a few draws here and there. How are you looking at it at the moment?
I think it's a great question. That is like, it is it'd be a great one to kind of engage it on Twitter, to be fair. I think Dean's got it quite right in the comments saying about like 5 o'clock Saturday, but I think if you take it from like that of like, I guess you could say 13th in form, I think that's where, that's what we are. We're a team who's like 13th in the league. So we're about average with 3 defeats in 9. I think it's really hard to gauge because it's fine margins. We've had, you know, the Spurs game, the elation, 1-0 down on 90 and we win 2-1. We've had a shafting at Sheffield for a point, but everyone seems to beat them. So it's like a course where we're the only ones who didn't beat them. You've got Fulham Monday night again. You could easily come away with a point there. I think you just, and you look as well, a very glass half full for the season so far, because you look at the teams we've had at home. We should have, you know, I remember before the season started, it was like, man, we ain't going to win our home game by December. We've had all this money put on our season ticket. We ain't going to win by December. And yet we've beat Spurs, we've beat City, we've had a draw against Newcastle. And you're like, I think we're in a good spot. I think, like you say, next two are pretty defining. You know, if we lose next two or whatever, you're looking at, well, maybe the mood does change. But I think we're in a good spot. I'm happy with where we are. It's kind of been my wildest dreams, considering before, well, just after it switched, I come on here and was like, man, get this guy gone, he's a chump. You know, so I'm happy to eat the humble pie and go, you know what, even if he loses a couple, I'm happy to like give him a bit of time.
Yeah, go on, Tom.
I think O'Neill's done a big job in winning over the fans. He's definitely won me over. I agree with Josh. After the Ipswich game, I thought, what is this bloke doing? I thought, how has he got this job? But he definitely won a lot of people over. I think in terms of the team, I think a massive thing for me is that we're scoring goals. I think like we've got much more players in the box. For example, the Newcastle at home game, there's a photo that I've seen on Twitter, or X as you want to call it, where there's a photo where Huang is cutting in and you've got Huang, Cunha, Aitnori, and I think Lamina all in the box just before Huang takes his shot. Now, we've been screaming for players in the box for the past how many seasons, because it's always seemed to be that solo striker or there's not enough players in the box. So I think a refreshing thing is, even if we do go one down or it's not really going our way, I think the back of our minds, we kind of think we're going to get something, or we're going to get half chance somewhere. Yeah. You know, we're going to get somewhere with it. So I think that's a really big thing in terms of us at the minute. And I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, because we're scoring goals, we're going to go and get Europe. But I'm pretty happy where we are right now. And I feel like we're building them blocks. Because, of course, you know, I'm sure the owners and I'm sure us as fans want us to see us back in Europe again. I'd snap my hand off for it. But realistically, right now, we're building blocks again. And it's just them things, scoring goals, getting clean sheets, you know, trying to avoid these bookings, which is getting us players suspended and things like that. You know, we're building blocks. So it's a good process.
Yeah.
I feel like we're in that spot of me personally back enjoying Wolves again. Like,
yeah.
Last season under Nuno, okay, Lodge's first season, it had its moments, but like, it was keep it tight at the back. We didn't score many goals, did we? You know, last season was like, you was on the edge of your seat every week thinking, like looking at the like table goon, fig meme and goon down this week. You know what I mean? So we mean it's nice to just enjoy Wolves and not be looking over your shoulder as much and things like that. It's just nice, refreshing, like Tom said, scoring goals. It's just nice to be back, sort of thing. And I enjoy watching us play. You know, I really do enjoy watching us. It was like under Lopetegui, it was, you know, it was fair enough. It was, he did a job and whatever. But it was like, it was boring. It was about getting the results. It's just nice to watch us play some football, scoring some goals and just going at teams. It's like watching the team that we fell in love with 3-4 years ago in our first season in the Premier League. And it was, we'd fancy ourselves against anyone. You know, we'd take the game to everyone in the league, and it feels like we're doing that again. And that's all I could ask for, really.
You know, we had a great come on YouTube just saying, going 1-0 down is no longer a death sentence. Spot on. And yeah, you're right, Josh, and same as you comment. Like, I'm looking forward to watching Wolves again. It's like, even if we can see, it's like, actually, you know what? Yeah, you know, fine. Don't worry, because you can't back them to get something late on, or, you know, even against Arsenal, like, Arsenal kept making, like, daft mistakes, and it almost felt like, I don't know, maybe if we had a Neto or we had a bit more quality off the bench just to kind of ask a few more questions, we could have made it a really interesting last 10, 20 minutes for them, instead of giving them a little bit of a scare. But, yeah, I don't know, like, it feels like he's done enough to, yeah, stem the tide, because no joke about the, you know, O'Neill out stuff 8 weeks ago. But actually, genuinely, we were really poor. And fortunately, he has fixed it. He has switched it round, and he has kind of come up with a solution to the problem. Ironically, it's the same solution that the previous three managers came to in terms of playing a back three. But actually, you know what? It's got us points, and we're playing a good brand of football. And ultimately, that's all you can ask for. And you know, I always find form and stuff like that, and say, oh, well, we just need consistency. It's like, yeah, but if you're a consistent football side, you finish sixth and seventh.
Yeah, it is.
It doesn't work like that. Like, the only way to be consistent with win, like, consistency is like winning a load of games, isn't it? And drawing a load of games. But if you win and draw every game, you're pushing for top four.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of doesn't quite work like that for the majority of teams, that everyone is some varying degree of inconsistent, if that makes sense. And, you know, if you can pick up those couple of those wins and kind of string those few results on the bounce together, that it means that, yeah, you know what, you've lost two games in a row. But actually, if you then win your next two games, you get 6 points from four. And if you're going in a mindset of constantly getting 6 points from four games, that puts you, you know, well clear of relegation, pushing the table. And it, you know, but it doesn't look consistent, does it? Because you're losing every other game effectively.
I think it's really odd. Like, it's very easy to change. Like, you know what football's like, it can change like the wind, and lose the next two, and you know what, everyone will be like, it'll be like panic stations, press that big red button again and things like that. And I'm not saying I'm not guilty of stuff like that as well. The only thing I would say, we need foresight as fans, whatever happens, because we've got to hold our nerve even if we do, because you got to look and go, we started the season with a manager coming 4 days before the season started. We've got less, you know, we've sold all our best players in like quotation marks, because some of them were pretty gash in the end. And you just look and go, we didn't replace them. We've come in, like I say, and it's coming 4 days before the season starts. We've building again as a club, effectively. We've got to build from zero. It just takes, and we've been shafted by VAR. I know it's his say, but we have. We've had that Everton 10-point deduction, just add it over a couple of games instead, didn't we? And I think that's the big difference for me.
Yeah. I say, before we talk about the Burnley game, one bit of news, I guess. I don't know if you can class getting another game a bit of news, but the third round of the FA Cup draw was done today. Wolves have got Brentford away, which, considering we're playing them just after Christmas as well, and we're playing them at the start of February, if we end up getting a draw against them, which is probably the most likely result, we'll play them four times in, I believe, it's 6 weeks.
It's this year's Liverpool, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a downgrade, isn't it?
This year's Liverpool.
Yeah, overall, I wasn't too happy with a draw. I think it's an okay opposition. I think out of the cup, I don't know, you could have had a better away day probably, or a better test maybe. I think it's more annoying because we play them in the league as well, and especially with how close we play them in the league, makes it even more annoying. So I think that's got a lot to do with it. But yeah, I mean, looking at the draw, I think really one of the only tasty ones that I saw was Newcastle against Sunderland.
Yeah. Part of me would have quite liked to have had Maidstone United managed by George Ellacobe. That would have been quite fun, and it would have been an interesting away day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alas, we can't have everything. One thing I am kind of glad about Tuesday and going into it is I know that they'll be up for it, but I'm so glad we're playing Burnley after a win.
Yeah. They like run off the back, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
The script was writing itself out.
It would have been so fucking Wolves, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds pretty bad, but I probably still won't count them out because they're going to come in the game with confidence. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think overall, I think it's just a Wolves thing. We've always struggled against teams below us, especially in the lower half of the table. Scoring 5 goals is going to be a massive boost for them, 100%. But I think we've got to look at it. They're coming to our place. You know, hopefully Molyneux's going to have a bit of an atmosphere behind it. I'm sure if we get some good players going, the crowd will boost up. So you've got to hope we can also boost the team as well. Coming off 2 defeats, it's going to be pretty tough because I think Burnley will have a go. But overall, I think we've got better quality than Burnley and I think we've got enough to beat them. I'm not going to go and sit here and say we're going to go and win 4-0. I think it'll be a 1-0, 2-0 game. But as long as you can get these 3 points off them, it'll be massive for us as well. Just get back on winning ways, really.
It'd be nice to see us like wrestle a bit of control and start the game, not go 1-0 down inside the first like 5 minutes and have to change the game. It'd be nice to see us like wrestle a bit of the control and maybe start on the front foot and maybe score the first goal for once, you know. I wish we could score inside 15 seconds, bleeding hell.
It's not even the first time he's done it in the Premier League
That's nuts.
that's wild. But yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting game. I think for all the stuff around Burnley and their league position and lack of points, like, I think they've tried to keep up their brand and identity from last season, which hasn't massively paid out, but I think it sort of means they might have kind of grown into it and kind of consistently kind of improved to get there, maybe. Unlike kind of Sheffield United, who I know have been hamstrung by injuries, but they are just dog shite. if we're being brutally honest, which is even more building because they beat us. But no, I think it'll be a good game. I think it will actually be almost like Fulham, but actually it's going to be two sides who are trying to play good football, trying to get a point, trying to get the points. And I think Wolves should have enough. And I think the fact that we're back at home after 2 away games, where we deserved more than what we got. I don't quite know how much we deserved out of 2 games. Maybe we could have just about scraped a point out of those 2, which, grand scheme of things, for the point probably doesn't make a difference, apart from going into my old narrative thought process. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's the prime batch of fixtures this week. So they've got these games, they've got the ones out later this month. I was going to say the Boxing Day, but we're not playing Boxing Day, so the Twixmas period, as it were. So you've got Wolves versus Burnley and Luton versus Arsenal on the Tuesday. Then you've got Brighton Brentford, Palace Bournemouth, Fulham Forest, then Sheffield United versus Liverpool, Villa Man City, Man United versus Chelsea on the Wednesday. And then Thursday you've got Everton Newcastle and Spurs and West Ham. So there's a couple of half decent games on, you know, and none of them clash with the Wolves, which is always joyful for me. to be honest, when it comes to them, but I guess ones that we'll probably have half an eye on. I was going to say apart from our own, Fulham versus Forest, I think it's going to be a quietly interesting one because both of them are kind of quietly sliding, aren't they?
Has anyone else seen the script like me? I messaged him out earlier. Forest lose to Fulham. Fulham sack keeper. Lopetegui's first game as Forest manager. The Molyneux on Saturday. I have never seen a script that's more written than that.
That would be fun.
See,
that would be fun.
Boost for the 90 from me. Boost for the 90.
I thought, to be fair, I don't really like talking on past managers that much. But in terms of Lopetegui, I thought he was going to go to Saudi. I thought he was going to go to the team that I've just sat near now. I thought he was going to go there, but he's obviously adamant he wants a Premier League job. I've seen Cooper quoted that they'd have to drag him out of Nottingham for him to lose his job. Which was pretty rich, because I feel like if results don't go your way...
I was going to say, it's a bold statement to the Notts Forest fans, that is.
Yeah.
It's a very bold statement.
Yeah. I think, I've said personally to like some of my mates, I think Lopetegui will get the next Man United job. I think...
Yeah, I've seen that quietly hinted places. And I'm,
I could see...
I don't know. I just don't see, like, say Forrest do lose and the sack Cooper, Forrest have got money, they will back him. He's going to take do you think he's going to take the given in the Forrest job or the hypothetical in the United job? Is he going to gamble and wait for that? Because Forrest will just, like, get to the next one while they'll hire, like, Fat Frank, I don't know, or something like that, and put him in.
Oh, that's written in the stars, that is, isn't it? Okay, that's like a proper you could see happening.
They'll owe someone else. So does he like really gamble and wait and Balogun do his like propaganda of Notts Forest and propaganda for Lopetegui, or do the wait gamble for United?
I don't know who else would hire him.
I personally think he'll go to United, Lopetegui. I think when he was at Wolves, don't get me wrong, he kept us up. So I've got somewhat respect for him. But when you look at, like, for example, the start of this season with O'Neill coming in and how late Lopetegui left the club, it's kind of like we had our backs against the wall from the get-go. And I've always said, I feel like that suits us as a club. As when Lopetegui came in, he obviously didn't think the squad was good enough for his football or his standards. So I feel like if he does wait this out and he gets like a Man United job, I feel like that's what he'll want, being, you know, at Real Madrid, Spain, you know, all these big jobs. I think it'll be one that he's waiting for. Or pretty much any out of the top six, to be honest.
I just don't know. I just don't know what he's kind of planning. I don't like harp on about him because, you know, with pastures new and things like that. But I don't know how many teams are going to look at the job he did and go like, you know, what a job he did. You know, he did a good job, but then it kind of fell apart towards the end, didn't it, really? And it, no matter how much class and decorum he's got, as he likes to try and tell us, and we shafted him and whatever Balogun likes to spread on Twitter, like, it's still a pretty like arsehole move to leave 4 days before the season, isn't it? And he could have done 10 games and gone, no, I'll do it then, you know.
And my thing at the time is he has got a bit of a track history of...
That's what I mean, you know.
So it's like, think of what he did to us way back in 2016 or whatever it was.
Look what he did to Real Madrid and the Spain job. He's got that snake about him, isn't he? He's got that selfish side.
Which is why I can almost see him going to a Forest, because he might go, actually, you know what? They will put up with that potential for it to go wrong a bit more than at Man United. Because, like, Man United cannot afford for someone to throw their toys out of a pram.
To mess them around. They can't afford
it. But he has... if you took his... If you took his stint and Wolves out of the equation, he has got a CV to potentially manage a Man United in terms of what he did with Seville and kind of having these sort of top-end jobs. But I don't know. It'd be interesting, but I think that would be a good game. Anyway, Fulham versus Forest, not from a quality point of view, just I think, you know, both teams are kind of getting dragged into it. even Spurs West Ham on the Thursday, I think it'll be a good game. It seems like it was a nice batch of fixtures going on.
Villa City will be a good game.
Yeah.
That'll be Rodri as well, did I read?
Potentially.
You know, with Villa, it's one of them, like, I ain't bothered about them at the minute. Like,
yeah,
we're not in the same, we're not competing with each other, so it don't bother me that much, really. I don't like him, but fair play to Emery, what a job he's doing, like a Nuno level job that like Nuno did for us, didn't he? Like, he's transformed that club like overnight, basically. Yeah. I've got to credit the job he's done.
It's just annoying, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Lopetegui could have done the same for us, but he wanted to chuck his toys.
Exactly, yeah, but there were so many parallels, and it didn't kind of quite pan out with them. Before we look at the league table, let's have your predictions for Tuesday night, then. Josh, what are you thinking?
I'm going 0-0 because it just screams of, you know, when we played them under Large first season.
Yeah.
First Tuesday night, it just screams of a 0-0.
Tom, how about you?
I'm going to go 1-0 Wolves, and I'm going to say Cunha to get his third goal on the trot.
I'm going to go 2-0 Wolves because I'm a blind optimist. But I think Cunha's going to score. I think he's found the score. And I reckon, you know what? I reckon someone like one centre half is going to score as well. It's my little bet. The last couple of results, because it's so compact, but as I sort of mentioned, everyone's that level of inconsistent, and it's also helped that in the last like couple of weeks, Everton have been deducted 10 points as well. But we're still in 13th. You know, we're where we should be form wise, which is positive. I think the only downside from how I look at it is, yeah, arguably we should be 14th. With the Everton stuff, but that gap to kind of push up into 11th is getting that little bit wider. So I've really pushed into mid-table. It is a two-game stretch now.
That is true. I'm not looking at that gap. I'm looking at that gap to the bottom three. That's all I'm looking at this season. It's like, I look now, what, three, you're like 8 points clear, took a three-game buffer. Yeah. That's all I'm looking at. That's just stay up at all costs. That's all it is for me.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, we've still got, you know, a healthy amount of what, 24 games left to play. But it feels very much set that 12th to 16th at the moment, doesn't it? Is that little pack, you know, how many of those are going to kind of get dragged into a relegation zone? You know, we talked about Fulham a bit of a maybe. Bournemouth are quietly putting a run together now to kind of stay out of it. Everton are appealing their ban, of course. Yeah, it's shaping up quite nicely, I think. I think it should be quite an interesting season, hopefully in the bottom half.
Yeah, I think I kind of hope it's interesting, just as long as we're not down there.
Yes.
Yeah.
After last season, yeah.
Yeah, like I'm pretty happy where we are now, like I said earlier.
I've done enough relegation battles for a lifetime. I think last season took years off me.
I'm not expecting us to go and battle for Europe, but we've got enough quality to stay in this league, and I feel like we've earned our place in this league. So, you know, I think it'll be an interesting thing, especially with Everton having the point drop. Personally, I can't see them getting their points back. If they do get any back, I don't think they'll get all 10 back. So, I think it'll be interesting, really, especially with how Everton have dropped down there now. Bournemouth especially, slowly coming up. But again, that's on form as well. They could go and get battered one week and it all goes down the pan. Again, so you know, it's one of them. As long as we stay out of it, then carry on.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed. I think, so long as we get a few good wins, we sort of said probably at the start of the season, you know what, if we finish 12th again, but actually we're playing some half decent football and we can see some improvements, then I think I'll take that as a Wolves fan, to be honest. So, yeah, be interesting to see how it plans out, and especially how that table's going to look come, as you mentioned, 5 p.m. on Saturday. We will be back, hopefully, to review the Burnley show, do a Burnley review show even, and also preview the Forest game as well, which is what we've not really talked about, Forest particularly. Make sure you keep it up to date with all things Wolves Fancast. Of course, we're at Wolves Fancast here, there, and everywhere. And also, big thanks to everyone who's watched this live, who's watched it back on YouTube, and also listening in your ears at the moment on podcasts as well. Until next time, though, it's goodbye from Josh.
Just got a share tape, my man, yesterday, if he's listening.
Yes.
In his commute to Burton. Mate, thank you for coming in yesterday. I'll sort you out when you come back in.
If you need tiles, you know where to go. You want tiles? You want football chat? Josh, you man.
This is the man to go. So.
Yeah. I'm not going to mention their name. They'll have to pay for that. But he knows who you are now, so he knows where to go even better. It's goodbye from Tom.
I can't do as good as a goodbye as Josh has done, but thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in, as always.
Smash it. It's goodbye for me, guys. I'll see you next time.
This is an advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online. We all carry different stresses, big and small. It could be from work, stuff going on at home, or just from supporting a football team. You flatter to deceive, and as the bed sheets have always said, let us down. We often bottle up these stresses and try and keep a lid on them, but when you do that, it can start to affect you negatively. That's where therapy comes in. It gives you a place to get these things off your chest, get down to root cause, and figure out how to work through what's weighing you down. Therapy is there to help develop positive coping skills. It's not just for people who have experienced major trauma. It's about empowering you to be the best version of yourself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not look and give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible and suited to your schedule. With over 1,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Our listeners can get 10% off their first month using the code betterhelp.com/wanderers. That's betterhelp.com/wanderers. Let's get back to the show.